I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Roaming Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out, roamingoz.com.au.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, Lynn, we're in Dubbo on this program, and I'm going to tell the listeners about some fabulous things to see and do around Dubbo, in particular the historical Dubbo Jail.
Right. And then we're going to catch up with Andrew and Julie from Zoo to Zoo, and we met them at Terramungamine.
And next?
Oh, and next, we actually got to go to the ABC studios and chat with Nick. And he did a story on us live on air.
All about us. This is going to be fun. I'll be listening to him all about myself and you, of course.
Oh, yes. I didn't say much, though.
No. And lastly, listeners, it's Jeff Dieth. He's going to be chatting to us all about what happens when you get your vehicle weighed at a weighbridge. Because a lot of people get their van weighed on van and vehicle weighed in weighbridges, they don't fully understand, the piece of paper that's handed back to them, okay, because it's nothing like what Jeff Dieth does. And, of course, you know, they are designed for weighing trucks, really, or if you're going to take your vehicle to the tip, you know, and how much did it weigh when you got there, how much does it weigh when you come out. They're not really designed to be weighing cars and caravans or four-wheel drives and caravans, okay? So a lot of limitations using, the local weighbridge. I mean, they're a great thing to have, not knocking them at all, but, you know, they really do have their limitations. So he's going to be explaining to us a little bit all about the weighbridge. Now, you know, before I start the show, I want to play a song by Lee Kernaghan. And the song that I'd like to play to your listeners is a number called Living in Australia. Now, apart from all of this, Lynn, we've also got a great selection of music
as requested by the people we interview.
So what do you reckon, Lynn?
On with the show.
Australia. We sit on the veranda when it's too hot inside. We can't use a hose 'cause it's been too dry. That's nothing new, living in Australia. Australia. Well, I drive an old relic, she's a bit of a heap. Larry tunes it up, he does it on the cheap. She'll be sweet, living in Australia. When I get a little money, gonna get me a boat, hitch up the trailer and head up the coast. Yeah, I got plans, living in the southern land. It's alright, laying back and living the life. It's alright, living in Australia. Chase the tail lights and head out of town. Just rolling on, living in Australia.
it's all right living in Australia.
G'day listeners, Phil C here, and I'm going to tell you some of the incredible things that are available to do in Dubbo, okay? Now, most people think of Dubbo, and the first thing that immediately pops into head is Taronga Western Plains Zoo. Now, it's an absolutely fantastic place to go, okay? And I have been there myself a couple of times. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, you really get to see these animals up close and personal. There's no bars, there's no cages. And the way they've set it up, you can either hire a cart and drive around or hire a bicycle or take your own car and drive around. Absolute must for the family and the kids. Now, I'm going to tell you a bit about that in a moment. Now, we've also got the incredible Old Dubbo Jail, and I've been there as well. Absolutely brilliant place to go. A lot of history, a lot of heritage there. We've got the Japanese Garden. Now, I've not been to that one, but I will tell you a little bit about it. We've also got the Royal Flying Doctor Service Visitor Experience. There is the Dubbo Observatory for all those people that are interested in studying the stars. There's Red Earth Estate. Alrighty, and there's just so much to do, okay? Now, we've got the Dubbo Visitor Information Centre, which, of course, that's the place you've got to go if you want to find out all about these places. Now, there's the Western Plains Cultural Centre. There's the Arana Mall for anybody who wants to go shopping. You've got the Macquarie Regional Library if you just want to kick back and maybe read a book or just relax, you know, get out of the Dubbo heat. You've got the Lazy River Estate. You have the Macquarie River. There's the Riversdale Shopping Centre. Look, there is so many things to see and do in Dubbo. And if you think it's just Western Plains Zoo, I've got news for you, okay? Now, I am going to tell you all about one of my favourites there, apart from the zoo. Of course, that is my most favourite. But what I'm going to tell you about now is the Old Dubbo Jail. Now, at the moment, listeners, the jail is closed because of the COVID situation, okay? But for future reference, just a little bit about the jail, okay? Now, you get to explore the jail in your own time, or you can catch literally the characters in costume as they dare to outsmart the jail warden, okay? So, for some tall tales and performances by an animated wardens and prisoners, check out their tours and performances schedule. Now, the entertaining stories on prison life and their attempts to break out. Good behaviour is rewarded, so purchase your tickets in advance online and receive a 10% discount. Now, the jail is normally open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's closed on Christmas Day. Very, very reasonably priced, okay, the admissions. And unfortunately, as I said, because of COVID, you know, at this situation, at this time, you can't actually go there. But it's definitely a place not to be missed. So a little bit more of it. Information about the jail. The Old Dubbo Jail is a heritage-listed former jail and now a museum and tourist attraction, okay? Now, it's located at 90 Macquarie Street, Dubbo, in the Dubbo Regional Council. And, of course, Dubbo is in New South Wales. Everybody, of course, would know that. Now, the jail was designed by the New South Wales Colonial Architects Office, and it was built from 1847 to 1945 by James Atkinson Jr. Now, the jail is also known as the Dubbo Jail. The building was added to the New South Wales State Heritage Building Register on March of 2004. Now, the building was the second jail in Dubbo, replacing lockups built way back in the 1800s, 1847 to 1862. Now, when closed, the government New South Wales planned its demolition and replaced it with a multi-storey office block. So the old Dobbo Jail was erected on the site of the original courthouse. It's believed to have been officially opened back in 1887. Now, many of the buildings, however, were already in existence by this time, so many changes and new buildings followed. The surrounding walls also changed shape. Now, closed as a jail in 1966, I believe, the complex reopened as a tourist attraction in 1974. Now, back in 2015, the old Dubbo Jail won a silver prize in the cultural tourism category of the 12th Travel Inland Tourist Awards. The jail was inducted into the Tourism Hall of Fame. Now, in August of 2016, the jail was closed to allow extensive restorations and renovations on the site. Now, the old Dubbo Jail is a small, compact jail located within the central business district of Dubbo. So now the old Dubbo Jail is a state heritage listed must-see attraction in Dubbo. It's remarkable. It's a complete and intact jail. Now it's operated for 119 years from 1847 to 1966. This set of 19th and 20th century jail buildings create an experience with bringing history to life. It's incredible. Now the regional jail is a representative of powerful, surprising, dark moments in Australian prison history. The house importance collections, such as the largest collection of handmade ropes in Australia, and unforgettable experiences such as the eerie silence of the dark cells and the bird's eye view from the watchtower. With guided tours, night tours, and theatrical experiences on offer. And I've seen this, folks. The people that dress up in character and wander around the place really is something to see. Now, the old Dubbo Jail is a rare piece of history open to explore. Twilight and Beyond the Grave night tours run during New South Wales school holidays. Now, bookings for this one, folks, are most definitely essential. Oh, well, there you go, listeners. A little bit of information about the old Dubbo Jail. Now, stick around. I'm going to play you a song now made famous by John Williamson, okay? It's a track called Botany Bay, and it sort of describes all about the prisoners who came to this country, and a lot of them probably would have spent some time there in the good old Dubbo Jail. So stick around. We'll be back with more Roaming Oz straight after this song, listeners.
Farewell to old England forever. Farewell to my rum culls as well. Farewell to the well-known Old Bailey, where I used for to cut such a swell. Singing, Tooralai, ooralai, addity. Singing, Tooralai, ooralai, eh. Singing, Tooralai, ooralai, addity. We're bound for Botany Bay. Tain't leaving old England we cares about. Tain't cause we misspells what we knows, but because we all light-fingered gentry hops about with a log on our toes. Singing, Tooralai, ooralai, addity. Singing, Tooralai, ooralai, ay. Singing, Tooralai, ooralai, addity. We're bound for Botany Bay. Now the captain, as is our commander, the bosun and all the ship's crew, are the first and the second class passengers, knows what we poor convicts go through. Singing, Tooralai, ooralai, addity. Singing, Tooralai, ooralai, hey. Singing, Tooralai, ooralai, addity. We're bound for Botany Bay. Oh, had I the wings of a turtle dove, I'd soar on my pinion so high. slap bang to the arms of my Polly love, and in her sweet presence I die, singing to-ra-lay, hoo-ra-lay, at-a-dee. Singing to-ra-lay, hoo-ra-lay, hey. Singing to-ra-lay, hoo-ra-lay, at-a-dee. We're bound for Botany Bay. So come all you young dukies and duchesses, take warning from what I've to say. Mind all is your own as your touches, or you'll find us in Botany Bay. Singing to-ra-lay, hoo-ra-lay, at-a-dee. Singing to-ra-lay, hoo-ra-lay, hey. Singing to-ra-lay, hoo-ra-lay, at-a-dee. We're bound for Botany Bay. Singing to-ra-lay, hoo-ra-lay, at-a-dee. Singing to-ra-lay, hoo-ra-lay, hey. Singing to-ra-lay, hoo-ra-lay, at-a-dee. We're bound for Botany Bay.
Hello, listeners. Phil C here with my lovely other half, Lynn. And we are at the Tarangamine Reserve in Tarangamine. Is that correct? Is that where we are?
We are, Phil, just outside Dubbo. It's a beautiful part of the world.
All right. And I'm with Andrew and Julie from Zoo to Zoo. Now, tell us all about Zoo to Zoo, guys.
Well, the Zoo to Zoo started in 2006 as a bike ride from Taronga Zoo in Sydney to Taronga Western Plains Zoo in Dubbo.
Okay.
And it was going to be a one-off event, you know, get the T-shirt, tick the box, move on.
Right.
But we decided to do it again in 2007, and it has grown to be what it is today, which is a series of rides that go between zoos.
Right.
Which is between Sydney and Dubbo, Canberra and Mogo down the south coast.
Okay.
Melbourne, Dubbo, and even London, Paris. So a good way to spend a few days on the bike.
Okay, so what's the idea of Zoo to Zoo? It's other than just great exercise and seeing lovely places. Julie, would you like to answer that, do you think? Or should we leave it with Andrew Andrew at this point?
Oh, I think Andrew would be the authority on what the point of Zoo to Zoo is.
All right, so obviously then, it's apart from the exercise, seeing wonderful places, what is Zoo to Zoo all about?
So the Zoo to Zoo started, as I said, in 2006. We've supported a number of charities over the years. We supported the Kids Cancer Institute in 2006, which is a great charity that raises awareness and also funds to look for cures for childhood cancers. And then we raised money for the Dubbo Maternity Ward. And in 2008, the Dubbo Taronga Plains Zoo, their Tasmanian Devil Appeal. And then in 2009... we started supporting the Black Dog Institute.
Okay.
And we've supported them ever since. And all the charities they've supported are fantastic. And the Black Dog is like that. They just help so many people who suffer from mental illness.
Mental illness.
Which is...
depression, anxiety.
Yes, schizophrenia, things like that. That just unfortunately affects so many people in the wider community. And it's also breaking down the stigma. So if someone goes to work and they've got a broken arm, they'll get a lot of sympathy from their colleagues, or they've got a broken leg. But unfortunately, traditionally, if someone does have issues with depression or mental illness, it's almost seen as there's a stigma attached.
Yes.
And so it's breaking down that to say that there is help available, and because it affects one in five people, that means that basically everybody is affected by it, whether it's a work colleague, a family friend, and there is so much help out there that people just have to basically not only ask for it, but also look out for your mates.
Yes.
Because you can just see how people's mood changes, and they might be a bit withdrawn. They might be a bit more, you know, outward sort of, it's like, oh, hang on.
Extrovert?
Yeah, when they're supposed to be a bit more introvert, you know, hang on, what's going on there? So it's really looking out for people. And back in 2009, when we started supporting the Black Dog Institute, they had a campaign, Exercise Your Mood. And it was just really saying that if you do go for a bike ride or a paddle or a walk, you release endorphins and you just basically feel better.
Feel better, yes.
Yeah, so that's what the Zoo to Zoo support now is the Black Dog Institute.
Okay, and apart from that, though, which is a great cause, of course, the things that you do, it's not only riding your bike, you also mentioned you do the paddling.
Yes. Yeah, so we have a great group here in Dubbo called Wom Dom Nom. We maintain that if Dubbo ever gets renamed, they wouldn't call it Dubbo, they would call it Dubbo or Macquarie,
uh-huh.
A bit like Strathfont upon Avon, Henley on Thames.
Yes.
But they would refer to it as Dom, D-O-M, rather than Dubbo Macquarie. They do the same with Wellington and also with Narromine. And because those three towns and cities in Western New South Wales are so reliant on the Macquarie River, we do a paddle over 4 days in November.
Yes.
Down the Macquarie, starting in Wellington, Wom, going through Dubbo, Dom, ending in Narromine, Nom. So it's the Wom Dom Nom.
Wom Dom Nom.
And the website, womdomnom.com. So, okay. And again, we support the Black Dog Institute because it's another sporting event and there's so much work to be done in that field.
In that field. And I guess it's at one stage, because we mentioned before, it was considered to be like the sickness or the disease of the new millennium. But depression, anxiety, I mean, even the name, Black Dog, that was Winston Churchill's term for how he described his own depression. So depression is something that's been around for a long time. And I guess a lot of people not really understanding what was wrong with them initially and or even being too proud to admit that they were depressed,
yep,
or feeling anxious. So it was just, oh, I'm just having a bad day. Yeah. But it's okay to have a bad day. But, of course, when bad days turn into bad weeks and bad months, that's when things can really get nasty, isn't it?
That's right. And Julie and I have done some community training so we can go to Rotary clubs and CWA groups and do a presentation on behalf of the Black Dog, not to say that we're professionals in that field, but just to sort of, but there is a difference between having a bad day because your football team lost on Friday night.
Yes.
Then when it becomes prolonged and you've got day after day, there is so much help available. And this releasing endorphins, it's make sure that if you do have a bad day at work, go for a bike ride, go for a walk, do whatever, and then so that at least the next day you can start afresh and not compound the issue. So, yes, but as you said, Winston Churchill and a lot of people in history do write about it, and luckily now it's in the media quite a bit and there is a lot of help available.
I guess the thing too to consider is if you are suffering with one of these conditions, rather than obviously going for a ride, going for a walk, that's all positive, but I guess the most important thing would be to seek some sort of medical help, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Talk to your family doctor, the GP.
Absolutely.
And he can put you on something which will help and maybe bring you to a level place.
Yeah.
But then doing the other things on top of that is probably, in my opinion, more positive than actually just taking a pill every day.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people probably rely on a pill because when you're in that sort of space or in that sort of place, you know, it sounds great, let's go for a walk. But some people don't even feel like getting out of bed, let alone go for a walk.
That can actually be the struggle, can't it? It's like you've got to be motivated enough to get up, get changed, get out the door and put one foot in front of the other. And if that's the blocker, that you just don't have that motivation or desire or don't have someone to go with you, even, getting somebody to get out the door when they really don't want to can be a major challenge. So, yes, that's part of the work that the Black Dog does is doing research into these disorders so that other organisations like Beyond Blue can better support people in their, in their time of need.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do reach out, you're getting a range of strategies, not just one, just the go to your GP, take the pill.
Yes.
But, they've got a lot of really good online diagnostic tools and support strategies so that if you're somebody who doesn't want to take the pill, but you need some help to get over or to get motivated to do the other things, then there's a whole range of online tools that you can access.
Okay. And so you've been associated with this group for a long time, and obviously you're going to continue doing it because it's such a great cause. How much money do you think you guys would have raised on these various things you've done, the rides and so on and so forth?
I think it's close to $2 million so far.
$2 million.
Yeah, so it's, yes, and that's because we do get a lot of support from obviously the riders, the paddlers, and their businesses as well.
Yes.
So, and yeah, so, and a lot of our
friends
riders.
Friends and family.
Yeah.
Friends and family.
Very generous, yep.
Absolutely. So it's, and that, and a lot of that sort of money, especially that the Black Dog puts into these community presentations. So people, if they need to sort of send someone out to Galagambone to do a talk.
Yes.
And it might cost $15,000 in terms of accommodation, flights and all that sort of thing. Well, there's that money available to be able to do that, as opposed to the people of Galagambone having to come up with that money to then get that presenter out there. So, and yeah, as Julia said, that the amount of research that is going into mental illness these days and breaking down the stigma is just is crucial. And it's... And, you know, there's that, that fantastic day in September, Are You Okay Day? Because it's important to look out for your mates. Because it's pretty hard for someone to go to the GP, but it's maybe encouraging someone else to go. So make sure that, you know, you go with your friend and all that sort of stuff.
Well, mate, this has been a wonderful talk. I'd love to keep going with it, but I'm sort of running out of time. My presenter over there, my producer's giving me the wind-up. So what we're going to do is I'm going to play you an Aussie song before we finish, but Andrew and Julie from Zoo to Zoo, is there any websites? You mentioned the one I could hardly pronounce. What was that one? The
womdomnom.com.
Womdomnom.
Womdomnom, Wellington on Macquarie, Dubbo on Macquarie, Narromine on Macquarie.com.
.com.
And also Zoo to Zoo with numerical two. So zoo, numerical two, zoo.com.
Okay. So fantastic. And then, of course, there's the Black Dog itself.
Absolutely. Blackdog.org, I think, .au, I think it's their website. But yeah, if you Google Black Dog Institute, it'll be up the top of the Google search. So yes, and they're a great organisation, and anybody who wants to get in contact, please do so.
Great causes. Fantastic. And that's what you need to do, listeners. Check those web addresses out, okay? Andrew and Julie from Zoo to Zoo, thank you so much for taking the time. The most amazing people we're meeting on the road here at Tarungamine Reserve. Did I say it right?
Terramunga Mine. Very, very close.
I've got to admit, I'm pretty ordinary when it comes to some of these local town names. So thank you so much for your time. What can I play for you? What's your favourite Aussie song?
Oh, we've got a great band, Australian band, that's originally from Dubbo, Thirsty Merc. So if you could play 20 Good Reasons, Phil, that would be fantastic.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking some time, Andrew and Julie from Zoo to Zoo.
Thanks.
Stick around, listeners, after Thirsty Merc's 20 Good Reasons. We'll be back with more Roman Oz.
I wrote that book. I climbed that wall. I had one look, but you just came around to say hello. The streets were filled with guilty hearts, and here was I right from the start, and I lost everything when I lost you. No sky, there was no rain for. All there was you and your sweet face. But life is life, and things will change like scenes upon an actor's stage. Tomorrow I'm not afraid to die.
Now, for years now, Phil Kahle has been heard on community radio with his incredibly popular Aussie Flashback show, highlighting some of the best classic Aussie music that you can get in your ears. Now, right now, Phil and partner Lynn are on the road for something a little bit different. That road has brought them to my studio. Good morning, both of you.
Hello.
Good morning.
How are you, my friend? Thanks for having us in the studio this
morning. It is great to chat this morning.
Uh-huh.
On the road.
Yes.
What, about 7 weeks now?
7, 8 weeks, yeah.
Seven, approximately. 8 weeks.
Well, we left on the 1st of February,
yep,
didn't we?
That's then? Correct,
yep,
yes.
Yep, 1st of February we left.
What have you been doing while you've been on the road? I hear you've been collecting some stories.
Absolutely. Look, we're launching our own radio travel show based on the success of my music program, Aussie Flashbacks, and it's going to be called Roman Oz. Now, every single town that we've stopped at, we have spoken to travellers. We've spoken to travellers with different styles of accommodation, like a rooftop tent to a $200,000 motorhome with all the bells and whistles. Press a button, the whole thing lifts off the ground if you need to change a tyre. And all the other interesting things that you have to see and do when you go to various towns.
So I've often heard that you can guess the age of who's driving by what their accommodation looks like attached to things. If you can see a swag in the back of the ute, yes, he's probably in his 20s.
Correct.
If there's a rooftop tent,
yes,
maybe in the 30s.
Yes.
And by the time that motorhome rolls around,
that's it.
You've got a good indication.
You've got a good indication, absolutely. And also the style of motorhome, you know. When you see a motorhome that rolls in that looks like it belongs to the Starship Enterprise, and like we interviewed a chap at
Corrimal.
That was at Corrimal, and he had this rig called a Habitat 2.
Was that the brand name, or was that what he called it?
No, that was actually the brand name. And when we went inside this thing, the bed was suspended up at the ceiling. So for more seating, he had like seating for 8 people in this thing, and the bed was suspended. So you press a button, and the bed drops down when you're ready to go to sleep at night, and had a shower and toilet, and then diesel heating, diesel cooktop. It was apparently an unboggable vehicle.
Oh, I could put that to the test. Don't you worry about that. Unboggable's like a challenge to me.
Okay. Well, he before he bought it, he said, well, I'm going to take this thing to hell and back. And he said, I want to make sure we're not going to get stuck in here. So they apparently just took it on some torture track and buried it beyond the wheels. And they got it out.
Yeah.
It drove itself out by the gearing and the gear. It's got an 8-speed gearbox and a couple of diffs, and we couldn't bog it.
Now, you're both seasoned travellers, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Is it just been on those road trips where you've thought, well, hang on, we're just meeting all of these incredible people?
Lynn, you can answer that one.
Yeah, sometimes. Well, Phil's more the talker than what I am. I just sort of sit in the background, and he's the one that asks all the questions.
I heard you were the navigator.
Yes, I am. I tend to, track our travels, yes.
Look, I've got to say, without Lynn, I'd probably... We recently moved from Sydney up to the mid-north coast where we're now living, and it took me a year to find Bunnings without my GPS. So,
Bunnings in Taree, it's very easy. You just take a couple of turns and you're there. But
that's true. You see, I have a GPS, and lots of travellers do have a GPS, and the problem with GPS is they'll get you there, but there's no guarantee how long it's going to take to get there. So everything is on a GPS as a journey within itself.
Yeah, the thing with a GPS is you've got to know where you want to go.
Correct.
But a map is a bit of a joy for being able to look and see those town names. You know, I spoke to someone just yesterday. There's a music festival coming out to Mudgee Way, and they're calling it Next Exit. And it's named after when you're on the road, and here's a town you've never heard of, Next Exit, but you never take it.
Yep.
You've always got to be somewhere. Yes. You're always still driving where you're supposed to be.
Correct.
What if we did take a bit more of a deep breath, slow everything down, and actually take those exits or look at the map and drop a pin and hope for the best?
Look, I love to do that. And the thing is, because I've got a four-wheel drive, I've got a 76 Series Land Cruiser, which is pretty unbreakable. And the thing is, I always want to go to that next step. If I see a road, curiosity's... I have to venture down that road, which could become a track, which could become a very narrow track that has
at the moment could become a very muddy track.
Well, it could become a muddy track, could become a river, who knows? But I have that sense of adventure, whereas Lynn's a lot more grounded. So in order for us to get anywhere, I merely say to Lynn, look, this is what I'd like to see. What do you want to see? And Lynn will plot an itinerary.
And I can tell that the end of every road, you're finding a story.
Absolutely, absolutely. Look, and I guess like Lynn says that I could talk underwater with a mouthful of marbles. So I will find a story anywhere with anybody because I just walk up to them as if I've known them forever. They immediately sort of feel relaxed and it's like, so what are you doing? How long have you been doing this for? Tell us about your truck. And every guy travelling wants to talk about his truck.
Of
his
course. Rig, of
and
course.
Lie about his fuel consumption.
Oh, yeah. I only filled up 4 days ago. Yeah.
Well, that's it. Yeah. Oh, look, I can get 20 kilometres, you know, to the 100 out of this thing. It's just, yeah. But no, look, we love travelling. Lynn's done some overseas trips before we got together, and I've done some Australian trips. And then when we got together, we thought, well, and especially now with COVID, of course, nobody can travel anywhere. And even in Australia, like, for example, this time last year, we were in South Australia, weren't we, Lynn?
Well, you would have been in South Australia for quite a while this time last year, no?
We actually, yes, I badgered him and said, let's get home. Oof. So we got home just before the borders shut. And,
As a near miss.
Yes. Yeah. Because what happened was, you know, I'm the sort of person, I said, look, Lynn, we've come this far. What are they going to do? Lock us out? And they would have done that. And Lynn said, no, let's turn around. So we had to get out of South Australia and out of Victoria. And we just did it all before everything got shut. And thank heavens, because we could have been there for months.
It could have been for months. Very, very much so. Like, I always find it fascinating talking to people who are on the road, because everyone's travelling for a slightly different reason. Yes. Everyone's travelling in their own kind of unique way. I think everyone's journey is special to them. But I love knowing why they're on the road. It's just amazing. I used to live in WA and having people come through, it was incredible to be able to catch up with people who'd been driving, you know, up to the top of WA from New South Wales.
Yep.
Why? I love it. Why do you get that drive? What's the travel bug for the pair of you?
Oh, just to get out and see different things. I don't think Phil likes being home that much.
No, I don't.
Doesn't like doing the lawns. He'd rather be out on the road driving.
Reluctantly. Look, I love to drive. In my 20s, I drove a bus around Sydney. So I just love to drive. And I love to see places. And when I was younger, I used to sit there with maps and books, and I'd look at things like Wave Rock, and I'd say, I'm going to go there one day, you know. And we haven't been to Wave Rock yet. And in my early 20s, I had this fantasy, I'm going to travel across Nullarbor Plain. Well, I would have probably been a statistic, because the vehicle that I had in my 20s barely made it to...
Mind you, we're going back 40 years ago.
Well, we are going back a bit over 40 years, actually. Lynn, quiet. You said you don't like to talk. So I love to travel, and I guess there isn't anything in Australia that I don't want to see. But I guess the things that I do want to see are things that are a little bit out there.
Yeah. You know,
our caravan's a four-wheel drive vehicle. Our car is the same. I want to do so many places. And the thing is, you meet so many lovely people on the road. And sitting around a campfire at... It's always 5 o'clock somewhere in the world.
And
whenever I look at the thing and I go, hey, it's time for a beer, and they go, Lynn will say it's not 5 o'clock yet. And I go, oh, standard line for me is, well, yeah, it is in the Philippines. So we always find an excuse for Lynn to have a wine, me to have a beer or something, sit around, meet people around the campfire and talk. Travelling is great.
Travelling is great. Let's talk about these stories again. Yeah. Rome and Oz.
Yes.
How many have you managed to put together so far? How much of raw... audio have you got?
I have actually got in the can, so to speak, 45 interviews that are already edited. And I must say, I very rarely do an edit because I'm so relaxed about it, and the person is so relaxed with me that it's like a 10-minute conversation like we're having now.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't need to edit any of this. And at the end of every program, at the end of every interview, I'll say, now, I've got to play your song. It's got to be Aussie. Aussie's the best country in the world. And all I play is Aussie, 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 flashbacks.com.au. Little plug there.
I saw that.
And and then they'll give me an Aussie song and we'll end the interview. So a segment usually runs for about 12, 14 minutes, including a song. Now, we've been on the road for about 7, 8 weeks and I got 45 interviews already.
Amazing.
Already. Now, I mean, in Silverton alone, I did five. We did the Silverton Hotel. We did the Outback Camels. We did the Mad Max Museum. We did John Dinan's art gallery. There's four. In Broken Hill, we did the Palace Hotel because we're going to go back for the Broken Hill Festival. And we interviewed a travel guy who takes them all out in his tour bus. So for travellers who think, what do we see when we go to Silverton? I mean, they might hear about the Mad Max Museum and the Silverton Hotel, but to actually talk to Peter and Patsy, who own the Silverton Hotel, find out why they actually bought the Silverton Hotel, because they were plumbers from Adelaide. Amazing little story.
It is an amazing story.
And these people are real characters.
Yeah.
With real stories to tell that people want to hear. And I believe by them listening to that, they're going to want to go to somewhere like Silverton and meet Peter and Patsy and go, tell us all about it. We heard from Phil C. and Lynn on Roman Oz. All about these places.
So I know you're still working on the website, but yes. Roman Oz, yes. We can find it on Facebook. We can get the updates, yes, know when it's coming.
Absolutely.
Phil C. and Lynn, talk about characters. Lovely to meet both of you, and I cannot wait to hear what comes out of it. Stay safe on the road.
We will.
Where are you off to next?
Yes. Where are we off to, Lynn? Navigator, well, where are we going next?
Well, we're sort of a little bit stuck at the moment because of all the rain and everything. We are going via Bourke and to Lightning Ridge.
To catch up with Mel and Susie.
They are fabulous.
And yes. Incidentally, just let me interrupt quickly because I know we're almost out of time. We are doing a live broadcast from Mel and Susie's house in Lightning Ridge for my Aussie music program, and Mel and Susie are going to be my co-hosts. It's going to be a hoot.
It is going to be quite a hoot.
Absolutely.
Knowing those two.
They're lovely ladies. They really are.
It was incredible meeting you both. Be safe. Yes. Enjoy the road.
Alrighty. Thank you so much.
Phil C. and Lynn, check out Roman Oz. Find it on Facebook. Get all the updates and AussieFlashbacks.com.au.
7th Street Caravans have now moved to a brand new location. 11 Clayton Road, Heatherbrae is where you'll find them. Whether you're looking to sell, trade or upgrade, they'll look after you. Check out their range, Silver Valley, Hurricane, Paramount, Road Trip or their flagship Option RV. They won't be beaten on price, so get yourself a knockout deal today. They're open 6 days a week. Why not give them a call on 02-4987-5288 or check out their website, 7thstreetcaravans.com.au.
Hello, listeners. Phil C. here. This is Roman Oz, if you've just joined us. And we're at that part of the program again where we've got Mr. Jeff Diath from Checkweight on the show. Now, last week, Jeff spoke about second-hand caravans and weighing them before you buy them. How are you going today, Jeff?
I'm going really well, Phil. Every day we wake up is a good day.
Absolutely fabulous. As long as you've got 2 feet and they're both working and you've got your health, what more could a person want?
Probably a caravan and travel around Australia.
Well, look, that is a great thing to have, of course. Now, last week we spoke about buying second-hand caravans and getting them weighed before you buy them. What are we going to discuss this week? Because we didn't mention it last week.
Well, Phil, I thought I get a lot of inquiries and I see a lot of posts on Facebook about public weighbridge tickets. And,
right.
I'm not against public way bridges. I'm all for them, but not everybody can get to a mobile weigher like myself.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people use public way bridges, but they don't understand the limitations of what you get when you weigh your vehicle and your caravan on a public way bridge.
Yeah, okay, because we did discuss what you did, and that was a couple of shows back, what you do at Checkweight as opposed to what people get when they go to a weighbridge, because obviously they're worlds apart. Your check is 2 hours. You give them a report. You go through over the whole thing. Now, obviously, when you go to a weighbridge, you're in and out of there in 5 minutes, and most people don't even understand what the ticket means. So explain it to us, the difference. We know what you do because we did discuss that a couple of shows back. What does the weighbridge do, and what's the benefit of it? If any at all.
Yeah. I think the first thing to realise is that public weigh bridges aren't really designed or set up properly to weigh vehicles and caravans.
Okay.
They've been set up to weigh trucks.
Right.
Yeah. If you go to the tip, they're there to measure how much rubbish you got rid of.
Okay.
So understand the limitations. Now, there's some pretty good weigh bridges out there, and they might have up to, you know, 4 different platforms.
Right.
But what I see a lot of is that there's these public way bridges, and I won't mention them, and then, you know, it's automatic. You pay your fee, you put your rego in, and they tell you to park here and, you know, disconnect the caravan and et cetera.
Yeah.
So what you see is, you know, is you'll get 4 different weights. You'll get platform A, B, C, and D.
Right.
And platform A and B is generally the front axle and rear axle of the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
But the recommendation on a lot of these public way bridges is that you disconnect. Okay. So you, if you're not connected to the caravan,
yep.
you are getting the GVM, the gross vehicle mass of the vehicle, but you're not getting it, including the tow ball weight. So generally when I see a weight ticket posted on Facebook or somebody asks me, the first giveaway is that platform A is heavier than platform B because you've got the motor up the front. So when you're unhitched, the vehicle is heavier at the front.
Okay.
Whereas when you're hitched to the caravan and you're adding that tow ball weight, and we've talked about it before, you're getting that 1.5 times multiplication factor on your rear axle.
Yes.
Generally, your rear axle would be heavier. Mm-hmm. So that's a bit of a giveaway to me. So okay. realizing if you're measuring the vehicle unhitched, you're not getting a true weight of the vehicle
mm-hmm.
while hitched. The second thing you'll see is then, you know, that they measure both, and then this applies to a single or a dual axle, you'll only get your combined axles on one platform.
Right.
So if you've got a dual axle caravan and you've got four wheels,
yep.
you're not getting each individual axle of the caravan. You're getting the combined weight of those four wheels.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, though, is which is probably the most concerning, is that they get you to measure the tow ball weight at the jockey wheel.
Right.
Now, if you think where the jockey wheel is in relation to your tow ball weight, it's, you know, anywhere between 600 and 900 millimetres further back.
Yep.
So it actually measures quite high. So if you've got a real tow ball weight of, say, 300, you might be getting a 350 or a 360 kilogram by measuring at the jockey wheel.
Okay.
This concerns me majorly because when I see people post their weights on Facebook, the first thing that people go is, oh, it's 380. You need to reduce your tow ball weight. So people then move things to the back of the caravan to reduce their tow ball weight. But they've got bad information because it's not correct.
Mm.
So they're actually potentially making a bad situation worse
yeah.
because the information they've got is flawed.
Mm.
So I suppose the question you're going to ask me is, well, how do you fix that?
How do you fix it? I guess you don't go to a weighbridge.
Well, look, I'm not against weighbridges, as I say. And then after I've weighed somebody, I actually do recommend, especially if they've got a shed weight,
yep.
To go to the weighbridge.
Yep.
But just understand the limitations of what you're getting. So if you weigh on one of these platform hitched, you'll get your actual vehicle weight and your actual caravan weight,
correct.
Which you know is GVM and GTM
yeah.
because the weight of the caravan. So that's a really good starting point. And then if you add those together, you get your actual GCM.
Yep.
So doing that gives you good information to start with. So okay. if your GVM, for example, is 3,200, you've got a Ford Ranger, and you're weighing it at 3,350, well, you know you're 150 over in the vehicle.
Yep.
Okay, so that's a good starting point. You can say, well, what can I shed? And then you can drive over the weighbridge hitched again on another day,
mm-hmm.
and then you're down to, you know, 3,280, well, you know that you've lost 70 kilos out of the vehicle.
Yeah.
And it'll also give you your axle weight, so you'll know where you're at. Not all public way bridges will give you axle weights either, so just be careful there. So that's a good way to, and I've actually had clients who are aware I've weighed and they've been, you know, very much overweight, and they've run over a weighbridge, public weighbridge, you know, maybe three times, and then got me back. Because they've monitored how much weight they've reduced.
Okay.
So good idea from that point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But the major concern, you know, is tow ball weight. So there is a way you can do it, and it's not overly accurate either. But if you weigh the vehicle hitched to the caravan and it weighs, you know, 3,280, for example.
Are we talking the car? If you weigh it hitched, the car weighs 3,280, yep. yes.
3,280 while hitched.
Yes.
And then you drive off the weighbridge, drive back onto the weighbridge, not hitched to the vehicle, to the caravan.
Right.
And your vehicle weighs 3,000.
Yep.
The difference is approximately your tow ball weight.
Okay.
The 280.
The 280, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bear in mind, though, it's not exactly 280. And I see this all the time. People go, oh, no, it's exactly 280. No. A weighbridge, public weighbridge, generally weighs in 20 kilo increments.
Okay.
So if you're tow ball weight was 285, it would read 280. If it was 291, it would read 300.
Okay.
So you've got about plus or minus 9 kilos.
Yep.
So in essence, you've got an 18 kilo plus or minus
mm-hmm.
that your tow ball weight could be.
Yep.
Now, when you're talking about, you know, a 200 kilo tow ball weight, that's 10%. So it's quite a lot.
Yep.
Yeah, so just bear in mind that it's an approximate weight. Mm-hmm. It's not your exact tow ball weight.
Yeah, because I had some friends that went away just recently, actually, and they posted on there, and I mean, they're friends of mine, and they posted on there they just got this new caravan, and because it was new and they weren't familiar with, you know, how to load it and so on and so forth, they packed everything in there that they thought they'd need for the trip. They went to the public weighbridge and then they started posting on Facebook, wow, we got everything in and we've still got 20 kilograms to spare. I thought, wow, that's not much to spare. You go to the store and buy a case of beer and you're almost, you know what I mean? It's nothing.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. And you're saying that they're out. They're not even accurate. So they were more than likely didn't have that 20 kilograms.
Well, I'm not saying they're not accurate.
Mm.
I'm just saying that there is limitations to the information that you're getting from
yep.
them.
Yep.
Yeah, because just like my weigh pads, I get calibrated. Public weigh bridges are calibrated
yep.
And they're checked, but they're checked for trucks, you know. And, you know, if you've got trucks going in on them all the time, braking heavily and things like that, you will get varying results.
Yeah. Okay.
Interestingly, I did weigh a guy one day who weighed his caravan on a public weighbridge, and then it was a bit quiet, and he said to the weighbridge operator, "Mate, I just want to dump the water and check how much it is empty."
Yes.
And I said, "Yeah, no worries, dump it." But what he realised after he weighed it was that a lot of the water was sitting on the actual ramp.
So that
water.
Still weighing
the weight, so yeah. He might have had 40 litres sitting on the concrete, so yeah. That would have been 40 kilos.
Wow,
okay. So just be aware of the limitations. You know, by all means, use public weighbridges, but bear in mind there is changes
mm-hmm.
As you're driving over them, as you're changing things, as they're changing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fabulous advice, always great advice too, Jeff. And I hope my friends are listening to this program because they did head off for an extended trip on the road with their brand new caravan, and they were very pleased that they managed to get everything in a smaller caravan than the one they sold. They downsized and still have 20 kilograms to play with. So I hope they're listening.
I've said it before, Phil, that remember that these weight limits are limits, not yeah, goals.
They're not goals. No, I know. Well, I've got to tell you, if Tony and Deb are listening, maybe you should get yourself to check weight the next time you're passing through the Newcastle area. Mate, fabulous topic and always informative. What can we play for you to wind this segment up?
Okay, Phil, this is actually a song that's been one of my favourites for a while. It's a little bit different.
Yes.
I didn't even realise that an Australian band.
Okay.
So the song is Walking on a Dream, Empire of the Sun.
Empire of the Sun, all right, Walking on a Dream. Sounds like a great track to finish up with this one, because you could be driving on a dream if you get your thing weighed at the weighbridge and you find out that it's not quite what you were expecting it to be. Thanks so much for your time, Jeff.
We'll see you next week, Phil.
Absolutely brilliant. Stick around for more Roaming Oz, listeners. We'll be back straight after Walking on a Dream by Empire of the Sun. Oh,
We hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page, Spotify, or romanoz.com.au.
Tune in next week for more
Roman Oz.